here at Agile 2012. Zooming through the corridors, and who do I run into but someone from our neck of the woods? Well, kind of. We'll call it the other state over the over the ditch. Sandy and Molly, how are you doing?
Hello, doing good. Thank you very much. How are you going?
No, not bad. So you've been given a talk here, I see. It looked pretty well received. I popped in at the start of it, and there was pretty much standing room only. Yes.
I was pretty happy with it, actually, because we had to move to a bigger room, and just people showing up being interested in a topic helped me a lot, because I was very close to being a nervous wreck. But in the session, that went all really, really well, and I got great feedback, so I'm really happy with that.
And so you're talking about personal Kanban?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
So what's the premise of your talk? I really wanted to get along to it, and unfortunately I had another commitment. But,
I missed out.
So for those of me and everyone else listening who didn't get the opportunity to see what you're talking about, what was the basic premise?
The basic premise is that we all multitask, and multitasking is really, really bad for us. And we all know that it's bad, but we kind of ignore it, or sometimes we're forced to. And personal Kanban is something that has given me permission to single task. And I've seen it introduced, evolve at a company in New Zealand where almost everyone at this company uses personal Kanban. And basically what it is that you have your very simple work. Things you want to do, things you're going to do next, and then you do them and then you're done. And you visualize this on a Kanban board, and I use small sticky notes, and when you pull them into you're doing them, there's a space limitation. There's only room for two, which kind of forces you to only do maximum two things at the time.
Yeah, I find I can teach people Kanban, and but I don't practice what I preach sometimes, you know, as a scrum master or a coach, and kind of look at it and go, wow, I should be eating my own dog food here. So the whole personal Kanban thing, and you said you got to meet up with Jim Benson, who's obviously written the book and is kind of the godfather of the whole personal Kanban thing, so you got to meet him as well?
Yeah, he was a lot less scary than the actual godfather, who I haven't met. But that was really cool, and it was actually really cool. It meant some sort of validation for me, and he's a really nice guy, and we talked about personal Kanban, and it was fun.
Yeah, cool. I assume the feedback looked pretty good from people I've been talking to, but it looks like everybody got something out of the session too.
Yeah, what I find is it seems to have this really large attraction with people, and I think one of the reasons is that it's very easy to get started. There is no religious discussion about Scrum, Kanban, my job role is going to change. It's something everyone can do.
Mm.
And I also found that very much like you, that you say, sometimes I'm preaching something, but I'm not doing it.
Mm.
That people, it's almost like a small training ground. Like when I coach team and they do Scrum or Kanban, and then they do personal Kanban, that it's a sandbox, it's a training ground that has influence and behaviour that I see on teams, and that's really interesting.
I assume it's also a way that you can actually get people into the groove without having to make massive change too, right? Like if you're sort of more personally talking to people and you can see them complaining, I got too much to do, you can introduce them to this, which doesn't take very long, then they can get affected by it and go, hang on, does that look like that wall that's over on the other?
Totally. And it's very non-scary, it's not threatening. People see what it is first, and then they can take part in the bigger thing, which is the team level. And I found that works really well.
No, that's great. So the other thing I saw you tweeting, and I see on your badge as well, you've been doing the coaches clinic here, which I think is an awesome idea they're doing this year, where you can come and get some free coaching advice that perhaps you maybe didn't get around to. I heard some stat that there's a massive percentage of people this year that haven't been to a conference before. That doesn't necessarily mean they're new, but surely some of those people have to be reasonably new to the whole thing. So you had some interesting discussions over there in the clinic.
Yeah, and I agree with you. It's a really, really good idea to have a coaches clinic. I wish I had come up with it. It's
well, New Zealand are probably crying out for it, so...
Yeah, but the basic idea is that people can receive coaching if they want to, and we have 15-minute slots, and people can either book a session in advance. There is some big flip chart they can put a topic on, or they can just walk in and see if a coach is free.
Mm.
And the conversations are really, really interesting, and I agree with you. What I see, there is a level of beginners, and beginners very often actually are not on a state to receive coaching yet.
Mm.
They want to talk to an expert, and that's okay. And some other people who are more advanced know the answers and just want to discuss options and actually want to receive real coaching. So it was quite interesting to do both.
you have any interesting questions or interesting topics that you covered in there, maybe something that even made you think?
What comes up again and again, actually, two things. One is testing.
Mm-hmm.
That,
that's my people listening to this know that's my personal vent. If I could change testing, then that's my thing.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, I totally agree. Mm-hmm. If you can change that, then you really, really went well.
Well, winds everything
way
back, right? It's meat and the sandwich. I think software developers have either been on it or they're not. It's almost like a one or a zero in their speak. So that's kind of been covered off. And we talk about story cards and requirements, and whilst there's a lot of things in that space and, program management and all the things we're breaking into where we've got to break into, but testing is kind of, I heard someone give the analogy once that waterfall was nice for everybody at the top, but the testers want to get drowned at the bottom. And a lot of adoptions of Agile, people haven't really changed that. They come up with these nice sprints in place, but there's still these testers running around trying to manually test everything behind the scenes.
Yeah, and I read this really good quote, and I think it's in Mary Anne Tom Poppendick's book, if you lose your keys and you have lost them 5 seconds ago, you look down. Mm. If you have lost them a couple of hours ago, you retrace your steps. Mm. And if you have lost them a week ago, you've changed a lock.
Mm.
And that's just about the cost of finding bugs early or testing early.
Mm. So that's one of them. So what was one of the other? What was the other?
The other one, product ownership is coming up a lot.
Mm. So I said to Jeff Patton's discussion about why basically product owners suck, and he's sort of saying, which actually I think has been a, I don't know about what you've seen, but there's a couple of core themes I've got from the conference, and one of them is that that whole product ownership thing is not working as well as it should be.
No. Yeah, and I think that was I can understand where it came from. I think it's when we had all those troubles in software development, and then software development practices were the biggest problems. But we've kind of solved them now, and that exposed the next biggest problem, which is we haven't actually done very much in that field of product ownership. Mm. We 5 years ago, I was one of those people, 6 years ago, I was a developer thinking, oh, well, this is magical product backlog. And, it would just appear, and it'd be just one genius person, and they'd make it, and it was perfect. And I think that has changed a lot, because we've realised that's not going to happen, and that doesn't work. And I think especially Jeff Patton has a lot of really, really interesting work in that space, and I can see it come up again and again in coaching conversations.
I don't know whether you've got any other things. The other thing I've really seen is the whole Agile outside of software is really big. And I take your topic as just one of them, right? Like, you weren't talking about software teams or development or anything. It's just personal Kanban. But you look at the Wikispeed car that's just down the hall behind us. I was in one about how fixing broken governments this morning. There's some really cool stuff.
I find that amazing. And I think it's it just happened to have been invented in software development. But I think wherever a good thing comes from, we can take it anywhere. And I saw Joe Justice a month ago in Wellington, and what he's done, the Wikispeed, I think is really, really amazing. And now I think that whenever someone tells me, oh, they can't possibly do Agile because their process or their business is too complex, I go, hey, if you can build a bloody car using Agile, you can do anything.
And I did a podcast with him yesterday, and he was giving the call out because in New Zealand you've already got Christchurch already locked up, Wellington, Auckland on the way, Australians, nothing. So New Zealand is leading the way.
So how do you feel about that?
Well, I'll tell you what, the Olympics had just passed, and I was in Auckland the week before the Olympics, and there was this whole discussion about...
Nice presentation,
Dave.
One of the better ones. Good job.
So there you go. There's another kudos for your talk.
And that was pretty nice.
Yeah. Someone walking down the corridor. I was in Auckland the week before the Olympics, and all I saw on Prime Television was this commercial over and over going, as long as we get more medals than the Australians. And for the first week... But you're as we've been saying to people here, New Zealand to Australia is like Canada to the US, we're friendly neighbours.
You're
a little bit different, but...
Yeah, but I think we're more similar than different, and it's a bit with a little brother, so of course we have to... go and annoy you.
Well, Shane Hastie says, you're just the bigger island to the right, so I was speaking to him and he said, yeah, New Zealand have got now 3 wiki speed and Australia's got nothing. So I think it goes to show, you know, for New Zealand. And I guess that was my sort of final question to you is that you're based out of Wellington?
Yes.
Yeah. There's some pretty cool stuff going on. And do you think in New Zealand the reason that is because you are a smaller economy and it's just you've had to go that way?
Yes. Yeah. I think yes, and I think we have a really, really good community where we can learn from each other. We have I'm running a community in Wellington, Agile Wellie, and we're 500 people who don't show up at the same time. But it's a group of quite a large group of people interested, and I think it comes from that we are totally on the edge of the world, and we're tiny countries, and we have this complex that we are missing all the important stuff that's going on in the world and in Australia. So we are really, really keen on learning and bringing people over and just getting new ideas from the outside. So I think we're overcompensating a bit, which is good and has actually really good results.
And you've got to be congratulated for Agile Wellie at the Agile Australia conference. I put up some stats about where the biggest user groups was, and apart from Sydney, which you would expect to be such a big city, Wellington was the next biggest community. You know, beat out all the other cities in Australia, and even Auckland, which has got a pretty small Agile community compared to Wellington. So you've got to be congratulated on that as well.
Pretty happy about that, thank you.
Sure.
I do wish, that Auckland can grow and other cities outside of Sydney can grow too.
I think the impressive thing for me, especially being Wellington, being a government city as opposed to a corporate city, which Auckland is more like. Not to say there's not corporates in Wellington, but that's a pretty big achievement because there is a lot of government buy-in as well.
Yes. It might not be as good as it looks. The user group means there's a lot of interest in Agile, and lots of people do Agile, but there's also a whole lot of people who wish they could be Agile in their government departments.
And as I was saying, I just saw a talk where they completely obliterated that, where they're actually getting citizens to do all sorts of voting for government process this morning. So, and we talk about the Wikispeed car. I mean, governments, get off your butt.
Yes, exactly.
We're here to help you.
Yes.
Awesome. So, any more plans while you're out here in Texas? When are you heading back to?
I'm going back tomorrow, actually.
Okay.
But I spent 3 days in Texas before the conference started.
So is everything bigger in Texas? That's what I want to know.
Oh yes, it's huge.
This conference center is amazing, isn't it? It's cut lunch to get from one end to the other.
Yes, and I find it really freaky that everything is on the roof, even when it seems to be outside. So it feels a bit like one of those spaceships of Battlestar Galactica.
Yeah, it is a bit like that,
isn't it? You never see the outside.
Yeah, I don't think we can even describe to people back home. I try to take some pictures, and even that doesn't do it justice.
No. It's completely incomprehensible for Europeans or people from the Southern Hemisphere, I think.
Yeah.
I have never seen anything like this.
Well, I was speaking to someone the other day. Do you know how much electricity this place uses this month? $300,000 costs them to just run the electricity.
Just electricity?
Yeah.
Wow.
And when they get to Christmas time, $800,000. Because they put an ice rink and Christmas lights everywhere. So, phenomenal.
Wow.
Cool. Well, it's been good catching up with you. I'm glad I sort of caught up with you in the corridors. And we've got to say hello to Renee. She's kind of like a, what would you say? She's not a Kiwi, but she spent a bit of time over there. So
I do want to say hello to Renee, and I do want to tell her that we miss her in New Zealand. We also miss the really, really good coffee that her husband used to make.
Yeah. So, see you, Renee. We're missing you here.
Yeah, we do.
Cool. All right, well, enjoy the rest of the conference, Annie, and we'll catch up with you back when we're down the other side of the world somewhere.
Yes, let's do it. Cool.
See you later.
Thank you.